Yeah, so if the load's low in Z or ohms, its output is low proportional to what the load is, okay?
Uh-huh.
However, what is not explained is the acceleration, and the speed of rotation is non-important. In other words, if you had a generator, let's take your car alternator for an example. It has to be at so many RPMs or it doesn't put anything out, right?
Right.
Well, this is standard textbook theory as we know it, that to get more power, you go faster.
Yeah.
Okay? But what I won't go into right now is this generator doesn't make any difference what speed that it's spinning. In fact, it has to come to a dead stop before it quits putting out its power. And yes, it is backwards to the load.
Is this generator a common type of machine that can be purchased or built?
Well, it cannot be purchased, okay?
Yeah.
Many have tried to build it with unsuccessful results because they can't get away from their common training, okay?
Right.
Look, it's the law of the land right now that the textbook is right. Okay?
Yeah, I don't believe that.
Well,
but anyhow, you can get a hold of John's paper if you want to. And
or the tape, yeah.
Has the whole thing. It's available through the Tesla Book Company at 1580 Magnolia in Millbrae, California, 94030.
Yeah.
And Tom's papers are available there, and you're making that tape available?
Yeah.
Just send your name and address to me, and I'll get to John, and he'll get back to you.
All right, fine. Because I'd like to, I have a...
It's a very unusual tape. It's 2 hours.
Is it VHS? I mean.
Yes, it's VHS only.
Uh-huh. Okay, very good. I would like to, is it something that can, on a loan basis, or is it something you buy, or what?
No, it's something that you purchase, and it's yours for... all eternity.
Sounds good.
Okay, Glenn.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And I will, shall I write to you there at KABC?
Yeah, just write to me here at the radio station, right?
All right, fine. Thank you.
Much. And I think we have one of your neighbors on the line here, John. Ivan, welcome aboard.
Good evening, Bill. It's nice to talk to a neighbor, John. I'm one of your other free energy people up here in Sylmar.
With that great big windmill sticking up in your backyard.
I've got the 42-foot high, 8-foot in diameter wind turbine. And talking about the free energy. Have you devised a battery system that can store the energy that you make? Because I'm interested in storage capacities also.
Well, let me ask you one question first. I've driven down the freeway many times and looked at that windmill up there, okay?
Uh-huh.
Wind turbine.
When does it ever turn?
Okay, well, you don't really observe it turning from the outside because the outside fins don't really turn. They direct the air into the bucket. So when the wind is blowing, you'll see it turning.
Well, I watched it spin one day. It was quite curious to me. Yes, you can store this energy in batteries and use it for future use.
Okay, I just wondered if you had developed any kind of stick or battery that might be applicable here.
Well, I don't want to go into a lot of things on batteries, but yes, I have been working on one type of particular battery with a very special kind of electrolyte that is more like a... It's not even an acid, okay? It's an earth. Let's put it that way. And yes, I have been filtering and looking at some things, and I found out that the type of battery that probably is going to have to be developed for this would be a crystallar type. In other words, we paste our plates right now.
Mm-hmm.
But this sort of would be like a pocket battery, okay, as if the plates had pockets instead of grids, all right? And it's been something that I've been working on, and I can't really go into all the details on it. It would take hours and hours. But, yes, it would take a very high... in other words, these machines seem to be producing in the X-ray region... They react funny with Geiger counters. They make the needle move. Every once in a while I've noticed that the machine's output varies with the month. In other words, depending on what the fields are, which is not too surprising to Tom or many other people out there, but yes, there are times that the machine varies its own output because the batteries have been constant. You see, I haven't been able to find what you'd call a magnet that can take this shorting effect yet. In other words, a constant short effect, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The generator, I think you would find if you put one of these generators up in the wind that you would need probably 2 55-gallon trash cans in place of your big generator, and it would probably put out, you know, much more than what that turbine is.
Ivan, hello, what are you doing up this late?
Hi there, Bob, how are you tonight?
Just great. Way back in the beginning, the late 70s, the folks out at Solar World observed the same phenomena that at certain times of the month, their generators, apparently at the same RPM, were putting out varying amounts of power. You remember those?
That's interesting.
Yeah, and we were looking at the way that those fields were wound. Ivan has one of the Solar World, and we're back to the hooker.
I was wondering, you're right.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
And there have been a couple of burnouts of those that have just totally melted down.
Unexplained.
Right, and we're back to scalar again. And
now, see, Bob, you know, now that you mention this, me and Steve, and Steve will verify this. Now, we're talking about coils that are wound with number 18-gauge wire and number 14-gauge wire. Me and Steve had a burnout of four coils all at one time. Absolute dead shorts to the pole pieces, including the field coils. And I think Steve can tell you there was no way possible.
I know. This is one of the biggest mysteries, at least in my young life.
But one question I do have, Bob and me, and I guess it's Ivan?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Did you ever notice the no-drag effect with this type of generator? In other words, do you notice drag on this type of turbine when it's putting out power?
Well, the alternator in this uses a particular type of non-ferrous magnets that were developed through Paul Winchell and so forth, and they eliminate about 80% of your eddy current, so you don't have the drag that you do with a regular ferrous type of motor.
Okay, but do you notice a type of acceleration under load?
I don't think the folks out at Solar World have seen that.
No, I'm just very curious, see, because the type generators which we're working on, as you load them, they accelerate. They go faster under load. You see, this is why I said that probably, like I was claiming, you could probably get away generating this 1 kilowatt with a 2-foot propeller, or maybe one squirrel cage.
There's a similar phenomenon in the old DC motors that were shunt wound. When you decrease the energy to the shunt field, the motor has to speed up to conserve the energy. That's well known in the old streetcar engineering days.
Ivan, just for a moment while you have you on the phone, how is your wind turbine doing out there? Is it satisfactory to you?
Okay, we haven't had the Santa Ana wind conditions yet that will really put out a lot of energy. I have noticed a small decrease in my electric bill. Of course, I don't have gas anymore. The gas company took my meter out 2-3 years ago, so it will take a year probably, and I didn't get officially hooked up with the Department of Water and Power until June the 14th. So,
in your case, you were whenever you produce more energy than you're using, you're required to sell it to the Department of Water and Power, right?
Right. So it goes back on their line. I sell it to them at wholesale, and, of course, when I buy it at retail. So that's why the batteries are...
Isn't there a compromise available?
In a case like John's, yours produces electricity on demand.
Yes,
so.
You see, I'm very interested in seeing if one of these generators can be put into operation with a squirrel cage or a 2-foot propeller. I've, you know, been looking at this because I think it's possible at very, very low RPM that we could produce the same amount of power that we would at 10,000 RPMs.
Mm-hmm. Come by and look at my unit sometime, John.
I've driven by, but that's like Fort Knox over there, so I can go up to the door. I've considered of getting, you know, I mean, it's a beautiful house and everything, and don't get me wrong, but you kind of wonder, you know, you see all those bars and everything. I wonder if I'm going to get shot if I ever walk up to the door.
Well, but, just go ahead. Those dogs aren't that actually vicious. Bob, I noticed in today's Spotlight that there was an article about multi-wave oscillators and thought maybe you might want to make some comment about the latest development and maybe an electromagnetic.
For me, Ivan, I never quite got around to subscribing. What I would like to say is that it's not all bad news. I was the guest of the Arceus Project in Minneapolis a few weeks ago. I had a whole day with Otto Schmidt, the grand old man of magnetics. He is convinced that he has frequencies which will rejuvenate brain tissue. And a lot of this is scalar. His older brother, Francis O. Schmidt, is professor of neurobiology at MIT. And he came out here and spent a day or two with me last month. And I am convinced that the future of medicine is going to be in the scalar electromagnetic domain, that we're going to be eventually out from under the thumb of the pharmaceutical houses. So it's not all weaponry. I think this will be one of the saving graces. A thing which did come up is that when this technology is available, it will disrupt Social Security, pension funds, and what have you, because we'll be rejuvenating some of the geriatric patients. Now, this is real. I mean, this is an outgrowth of the work of Robert O. Becker, who is growing arms and legs back on higher life forms and was sort of horizontally arabesqued out of the Veterans Administration, where he was chief of orthopedic surgery. But we're looking forward to some brand new things in this whole domain, and they're not all weapons.
Not at all.
They'll make life a lot better for
all.
Well,
that's the beauty of the technology. There's
right.
Although the weapons always seem to be the way it gets funded.
Can medical applications are formidable.
Yes, they are.
Bill,
yeah.
Can I say one thing to Ivan before he goes?
Sure.
I'll stop by and see you, Ivan. Just
okay.
Give me a good day.
Okay.
Name the day.
Tom, before they give us that quiz at the end of the hour, maybe you could make some real fast comparison between quirks and the particles that are in the vacuum.
Quarks? Oh, quarks, you mean?
Uh-huh.
Well, a quark is just a fractional charge. In the theory that they use, they come out with, I think it's six kinds now, and I think they think they found evidence for all six. There's one anomaly in fractional charges. There's one group at Stanford that keeps getting fractional charges on niobium balls, and nobody else seems to be able to replicate it. The only other thing I can throw in the older literature, a fellow by the name of Aaron Half regularly reported getting fractional charges, and he could even control the amount of the fraction. And as far as I know, nobody's really gone back and tried to duplicate Aaron Half's work.
Oh, and they have that mine shaft that's real deep that they've been running all the equipment in trying to record this. I thought that there might have been something new in that field.
Well, they still didn't get, as far as I know, they still haven't got enough neutrinos out of the sun. They're about to change their mind about what's going on inside the sun.
Huge tanks of perchlorate.
Okay, Ivan, congratulations on that stab that you made, that effort that's gone on out there and with your wind turbine. And John Bedini and you two should get together. You don't live that far apart from each other.
About 1 mile. About 1 mile. No, less than 1 mile. I think you could walk to my house.
Be happy to see you, John.
Okay.
I'm usually here on weekends, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday.
I'm the only guy on my block with a windmill in the back that's been powering the garage all this time off a 12-volt battery bank. Yeah, but I've had good wind up there lately, to where I've put out a lot of amp hours with this generator, and I put out more this year than I've been able to use up.
Well, okay, well, we'll look forward to seeing you.
Okay, David. Thank you very much.
Okay, good night now.
And we're just about out of time, it's here. Rather than get into another call, and John, Lori, Bill, Richard are all on the line, we just won't have a chance to get to them, and they missed the quiz tonight.
Fastest 3 hours in radio.
Oh, listen to you. I want to thank all of you for dropping in on us here tonight. Tom Bearden flying all the way in from Huntsville, Alabama, and give a chance to see the man that has thrilled us for so long. And I hope you're not ready to go to bed, because we're going to continue this show all night long, but it'll be kind of in private, and I'm sorry the rest of you can't join along. And John Bedini, thank you very much, and Steve Wirth for coming down, and congratulations on that ongoing effort that you're doing, and yes, that free energy device is in your future. And Dr. Bob Beck, what do we say to you? The man who's done it all and is continuing to do it all, on top of it all. Thank you all for coming down. I'll see you next week. Liz McAdams will be here.